Coming up on today's show.
Looking back at it now, I can say that obstacle was God calling me to push myself to the limit and maximize my potential and be who I'm supposed to be through football.
Peace be with you. I hope you had a very happy and blessed Easter. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. Every week, I always mention that there are links on the website to four social media platforms, but I wonder if you are actually following on one or more of those. Remember, too, about the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. I usually try to post a picture in there that does not get published anywhere else, in addition to asking members of the group for input on certain things or just what I hope are interesting posts that I put up in there. Always feel free to get in touch with me personally. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Lost in the distraction of the amount of an athlete's new contract is their statement about just wanting to make sure they can take care of their family and put food on the table. They truly are making sure that they can do exactly that. They honestly are putting their loved ones ahead of their sport, their family. They're the top priority and not the game they play. And isn't that a refreshing mindset rather than wins or me, me, me? It's normal for any of us to worry about doing that, taking care of our family, regardless of whether we work in sports or not. That being said, as common as it is for an athlete or for me or for any of you to want to carry that cross, in the Old Testament we read in Isaiah chapter 44, verses 2 and 3, quote, "Thus says the Lord who made you, your help, who formed you from the womb, do not fear, Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. I will pour out water upon the thirsty ground, streams upon the dry land. I will pour out my spirit upon your offering, my blessing upon your descendants." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was chosen 1 year ago this month in the third round of the National Football League draft, 72nd overall, by the Seattle Seahawks. He is an offensive tackle who appeared in all but one of Seattle's 17 games this past season and was named to the All-Rookie team. He also played his college football there in the Pacific Northwest, having been a four-year starter at right tackle for Washington State, starting 42 consecutive games. He was the first Cougars offensive lineman in program history to earn all Pac-12 conference honors four times and would go on to play in the Senior Bowl. During his student-athlete days in high school, he was named All-USA Washington second team by USA Today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Abraham Lucas.
Glad to be here.
Yes, thanks so much. I'm looking forward to this. I appreciate you making time. Even though I just mentioned the Seahawks in Washington State, where specifically, what city were you born in, and what was the family size? How many siblings? And for that matter, where are you in the mix, youngest, oldest, etc.?
Okay, so I was born on October 15th, 1998 in Everett, Washington, and my parents are still together. I have four sisters and three brothers, so there's eight of us, and I'm second. I have an older sister and then me, and then it goes girl, boy all the way down the line. And funny enough, 2 weeks after I was born, I was baptized on All Saints Day, which is a kind of a way to kick off my ministry, I guess, being Catholic.
Yeah, for sure. Go ahead and tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in your household growing up, including Catholic schools that you attended.
Okay, so when I went to college, college was my first public school setting, public university. So I did my Montessori school at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Bothell, Washington. They don't have a, I don't think they have a preschool program anymore, but I did it there. And then I went to St. Thomas More in Linwood, Washington for kindergarten through eighth grade.
Okay.
And then I went to Archbishop Murphy from ninth to 12th. And then as far as growing up, I'm a cradle Catholic, so I was Catholic basically from the time I was born. And it was, I mean, we, our family was the Catholic family. That's what we did. That's who we were. It's who we are still to this day. And really, that was mainly driven by my parents. But I guess the leader of that was my mom. You know, she made it. I mean, if I think back now, she made it a point for us to know scripture, know the teachings of the Bible. No Catholic social teaching growing up, you know, and really just to try to keep us on the right path in our faith. And so, you know, going to Catholic school for me, even from a young age, and being able to practice religion in school was very important to me.
I admire what you just said about your mother and the priorities that she placed, because one thing that I hear a lot about Catholics is that we don't quote scripture often, and it's more kind of in the way that we live and things like that. And so I'm impressed that your mother, and it was important to her for there to be very close knowledge of the scriptures. So hats off to mom, as always, I guess.
Absolutely.
Around the time of your going through the sacrament of confirmation, you did a few retreats. Share with us about your experiences with those.
So I took my confirmation classes at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and you know, I really enjoyed those retreats. Like I remember when I was, I mean, I got confirmed when I was 16, and I remember, I mean, I guess I was kind of in that adolescent sort of like teen angst stage. So I was, you know, I was just wasn't always the most respectful person or didn't always follow the rules. But those retreats that I went to, there were always times where I really connected and had great experiences just being in front of the Blessed Sacrament and, you know, hearing from priests, hearing from the bishop about just the faith and deepening my understanding of it and the Catholic religion as a whole. And I think it was very formative for me in my youth.
Well, and do I understand it correctly that as much as you just said everything that you did about your mother, do I have it correct that your folks actually came to you and asked you if you were going to go through with confirmation?
So my both my parents, my mom and my dad converted when he married my mom. He became Catholic.
Ah.
And they're both fantastic. They, you know, and so, but they, yeah, they came. It was my mom mainly came up to me and was kind of like, you know, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. And her reasoning was, yeah, the world doesn't need fake practitioners of Catholicism, really. And that, I mean, that applies with any religion, I think. But she was just like, yeah, like if you're gonna do this, you need to understand that this is a commitment. This isn't the end. This is just the beginning of your ministry, you know. And so I mean, I didn't. There wasn't really even a thought to it. I was like, "Well, heck yeah, I'm going to get confirmed." I wanted to get confirmed, but when she asked that question, it really kind of put things into perspective for me. Of like, yeah, this is just the start, you know. And I, if I'm going to do it, which I am, then I have to be as committed as I can be, and you know, essentially be in line with it.
Well, but furthermore, you said the word in there. You said, I want to do it. And I think that's what your mother was after, is I want to make sure that you're getting confirmed because you want to, not because you're supposed to.
Absolutely.
I mentioned in the intro that in high school you were named All-USA Washington second team by USA Today, but in fact, football wasn't your only sport. Tell us about being a two-sport athlete back in your high school days.
Yeah, so I growing up I was a basketball guy primarily. I mean that was kind of my first love. I really liked to do it and I was good at it. And
Wow.
so but I mean as I moved into high school and kind of I guess stopped growing. Like I'm a pretty tall guy, but I'm not basketball tall for my position. I was a center. So towards the end of it just kind of became something of, well, I mean, I like both, but this one will take me a lot farther and I'll be able to do more with it. And you know, I had grown to love football more than I loved basketball because I enjoyed the team aspect of football more than I did the whole basketball scenario. So, and I was having more success with football in terms of college interests. So, I mean, I was just like, yeah, let's run with that. You know, this is something I like to do as much as I like to do basketball. Football is the way to go.
With the success that you had in college, I have to believe that there was never a question in your mind about the NFL being the goal. Can you take us inside the mindset of someone in that position? Meaning, I'm sure your coaches and your family were giving you lots of positive reinforcement that way, but I wonder how much prayer were you doing towards that goal, but also surrendering to whatever the Lord had for your career and not getting caught up in all the hype around it?
Yeah, so initially I wasn't really even thinking about the NFL. I mean, I had always had the dream as a kid, but when I went to college, I still didn't know. I was still relatively fresh at, like, really the knowledge of football and the knowledge of the game. So I was kind of uncertain about how everything was going to play out. And when I got to college, like, I realized that, like, this is a legit thing, you know, and it's kind of becoming my job, essentially. Mm. And so, yeah, I mean, the beginning of college was interesting just because I changed a lot. In terms of my work ethic, like, I developed a really strong work ethic. And I remember, like, looking back at it now, I can say that, you know, that obstacle, because it was very hard, like, physically demanding, but looking back at it now, I could say that obstacle was God calling me to push myself to the limit and maximize my potential and be who I'm supposed to be through mm-hmm. football, you know, and, like, football in the way has become, like, a ministry for me, you know. And granted, you know, being a football player is not my identity. It's just what I do to glorify God, or it's one of the things I do to glorify God.
Love it.
And so, but as I kind of moved on, and, like, I redshirted my first year, so I didn't play. And then my second year, the second year I was there, was my first year starting, and I had a really good year that year as a redshirt freshman. And, like, it was really from then on, like, one of my coaches told me, like, you know, dude, like, if you keep this up, you're going to go to the NFL and you're going to change your life. And it was, and my mom had told me that too. And my dad had told me that. And it kind of hit me there. It was like, yeah, I could really actually, I mean, now it was kind of becoming realistic, a realistic goal and not just a dream, you know? So then it became like, okay, if it's in God's will that he wants me to do this, then let it be done, you know? And, so I just try to keep God at the forefront as much as possible.
Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. Folks, if you saw Abraham, you would first notice his size, 6'6", 322 pounds. But then you might also make the mistake of judging him because of something about his appearance. I will tell you what specifically I'm referring to, but I do need to first pass along a housekeeping note. This coming Friday, April 14th, and I mentioned this last week, if not the week before, this Friday, the registration fee is going to go up by $100 for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Orlando. I have been mentioning this because it's something that I'm interested in attending, because I feel like it could be beneficial to my Catholic sports radio ministry. However, I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors, which means that I have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to take on the various costs that come with operating this ministry on and off the air. So as a result, something like $600, or as of this coming Friday, $700, is beyond my means to be able to pay. And that doesn't even take into account a hotel stay. So the clock is ticking, but if you would like to help me get to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention next month in Orlando, I'd be so truly grateful for your helping make that happen for me and my Catholic sports radio ministry. I do hope that you already feel that, yeah, I like the show. I like Bruce. I like the work that he's doing. I enjoy the mix of faith and sports. I'd like to see his ministry grow and continue. So to that end, on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a blue Donate to CSR button that you can utilize to make a gift to my ministry. You have heard me mention on previous episodes of this show that guests and listeners alike have used that to make a contribution. It's very fast. It's very easy. It's by all means secure, and it lets you type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving, meaning it's not a case of choosing from a list of predetermined amounts. Alternatively, since some people don't like putting credit card information on the internet, I invite you to contact me through social media or email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on sending a check through the mail. With your permission, I will happily say the name of anyone who sends something in, whether through the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net or through the mail, or as some have asked me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. We just concluded Lent and the calls to prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, so it would mean so, so much to me if, as part of your continued tithing, you would consider helping make it possible for me to attend the NRB convention in Orlando in May, not to mention continuing to tackle the various costs that I face in operating this ministry. I can't say enough how grateful I am for you listening to the show, for telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do in using the mix of faith and sports to move more people closer to our Lord. Abe, in our Catholic faith, we hear so much about men being leaders, leaders of our families, leaders in our church community, the list goes on. I mentioned in the intro that you were named to the all-rookie team following this past NFL season, and so were a couple of your Seattle teammates. Does that create an awareness for you of, hey, us young guys, we might still be finding our way in the NFL, but we do have to develop as men to eventually become leaders to our brothers who are alongside us in the locker room and off the field?
Yeah, I mean, that I think that goes beyond football, but just, I mean, developing, constant development in my mind for men is like one of the most important things you could do because, you know, obviously nobody's perfect and nobody can be perfect, but there's always things to improve on and get better on. Taking it back to football, I think about it and then I don't think about it at the same time. I mean, the biggest way or the most effective way that I've found that I can lead is just through example. You know, just kind of putting my head down, doing the work, or trying to do the work as best I can. And then, you know, hopefully if that would inspire somebody, that would be great. So yeah, I mean, just, I guess just finding the things that really, that kind of we're good at and that we excel at, and then tying that into leadership.
Okay. And so let's flip the script a little bit. You missed one game due to injury this past season. So you got just a small taste of adversity, of course, not to mention the tough wild card game loss at San Francisco. Did those two challenges allow you to see the importance of a strong faith foundation to help you get through difficult times?
Yeah, that was difficult, but there was, I mean, I had a very interesting college experience. Like a couple of my teammates unfortunately passed away when I was there. So like compared to that, that really wasn't anything too bad. But I mean, to speak to the statement about adversity, there's like those things where like I lost people in my life. That was really where the kind of the faith-based stuff really, really came into play and where I really, really relied on it more. You know, I mean, injuries, they happen. Losses, they happen. It's unfortunate as you do your best and you want to win. But, you know, when you compare that to like other significant events in life, I mean, yeah, I mean, you just kind of take that adversity head on and deal with it.
Well, but I think this is important testimony because in those times, I mean, if you're talking about people who are your age that passed away, those are the times when people really start to doubt the Lord and say, why would you take this person from me? Why is this person gone and not someone older than them? Whatever the case is, you start playing all these why me games and questioning God. And so to go through those experiences and acknowledge that he is there, I think is the real lesson because we are constantly tested, whether it's death, whether it's just a big change in our life. Like you said, all of a sudden you go off and it's a totally different environment. Now you're in college. We all know about the pressures and the changes that come with the college atmosphere.
Oh yeah.
So it's really valuable that you were actually able to go through those, I think, instead of just for the first time, oh, I'm missing a game in the NFL for the first time. You know, how do I react?
Yeah, absolutely.
That adversity is something that none of us invite, of course, but if we don't find some sort of lesson in it and we don't grow closer in our faith, then it's a missed opportunity, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I got into the habit of essentially, well, not really habit, but sometimes I would ask for some adversity just to make me stronger. Cause I mean, that was the biggest lesson that I learned in college through like working out and just like being in the weight room is that, you know, when you lift something heavy, like nobody wants to lift anything heavy, it hurts, but that's adversity. And what does it do? It makes you stronger. And it's the same with your spiritual faith. If you want to get spiritually stronger, well, you lift heavy spiritual weights and that involves heavier adversity. And, you know, I may be a little bit crazy for it, but like, I mean, invite adversity, you know, invite different forms of adversity. You know, I'm not saying, you know, ask the Lord to, like, you know, take somebody away from you or anything like that. But, you know, just ask the Lord to prepare you for the challenges that he has in store for you, and that you may meet them with grace and trust in him fully, you know.
Well, and former Washington State University football coach Mike Leach recently passed away. I'm sure that you and he obviously crossed paths in your time there. So that's another example of adversity that you had to face. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was it was a sad time. It was shocking, and it was a sad time.
In the church, we hear about giving back with our time and talent. I wonder, Abe, I realize, of course, that you've only just gone through your first season in the NFL, but have you gotten aligned with any charities yet, or at least some appearances at community events? Is there anything you're wanting to do that way as you head towards your second season in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. Like, the first year, they always tell us, like, hey, don't start any, like, organizations, just so we can get our, like, footing and stuff. Mm. You know, but in the future, I mean, yeah, that's something I'll totally be on top of. You know, it just, the first year is all about getting footing. I try to be active in, like, my church community back home as much as I can. It's just a little difficult because now I live in Renton, and my church community that I grew up with is in Linwood. But, like, I mean, even if it's just, like, making appearances and saying hi to people, you know, that's great for me. And, you know, but as far as charities go, like, one of the charities that I've always appreciated is things like St. Vincent de Paul, because I've always felt like as a kid, I really had a drive to, like, help homeless people or people who are less fortunate than I might be. So, I mean, St. Vincent de Paul I've always loved. And, you know, in the future, I'll definitely be doing something in that regard that helps homeless people and people who are less fortunate than I am.
Nice, nice. Do I have this right? Obviously, you were going to Mass, but is it correct that when you were in college that you're even going to confession every week?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And tell the audience what you and I were talking about before I hit the record button about what there's available on campus at Washington State.
Yeah, so it's pretty commonplace amongst most universities and public universities. But I was heavily involved in the Newman Center for the later half of my college career. And I say later half just because, like, in my first couple years there, it was kind of disorganized, and it wasn't really broadcasted out to the public that there was a Newman Center, so I didn't know. But there was another church on campus that I went to. But the last few years that I was involved in Newman Center, it was great. The priest up there, Father Paul, is fantastic. He's a fantastic priest. And we did a lot of one-on-one work together. And I could call him any time of the week, you know. If I needed to go to confession twice a week, I could call him and he'd make it happen, you know. So it was, I mean, it was great. And I always loved it. And, you know, I was happy I developed the habits that I did at the Newman Center so that I could stay strong in the faith. Because before, you know, like, I mean, confession, I would go to confession every once in a while. But when I got to college, I was like, you know, I said, well, if I'm going to take this serious, then I should be going to confession once a week. St. Padre Pio said it the best, you know, it's like dusting. You dust once a week and your piano will still collect dust at the end of the week. So you need to dust weekly. And so that's the way I viewed it. I was just like, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to go as often as I can. And I started going every week.
Praise God, though, because that's obviously the opposite of what a lot of student athletes get tempted is, of course, the college atmosphere, parties, girls, all that stuff. And the faith life usually falls away instead of grows stronger. So good for you.
Absolutely.
I teased this a little bit ago, but share with the audience about the tattoos on your right arm.
Yeah. So, funny enough, I actually just got this whole right arm finished, but I have a few different tattoos. So I have on the front of my arm, I have a portrait of Jesus in the crown of thorns and three crosses beneath it. On the inside of my forearm, I have the Sacred Heart of Jesus. On the inside of my bicep, I have Saint Michael fighting the devil. On the outside of my right arm, I have our Blessed Mother holding a rosary with a tear coming out of her eye, looking up to heaven. And then on the back of my arm, I have the Greek letters IHS, which just means Jesus, and kind of like rays of light alluding off of that. And then I have a rose attached to the Blessed Mother and a lily, which symbolizes purity. And that's what I got on my right arm so far.
Well, and that's kind of, I get into this rut where I continually ask guests over and over the same question of, do you have a ritual pregame? Is there anything, maybe a rosary that you keep with you? There was a heavyweight boxer who was on the show one time that said he puts a scapular in his boots. And it's like, there you go. We already know Abe has, we all have the Lord with us at all times, but you're outwardly bringing him out there onto the field of play and into your community and into your everyday life with something that, as I mentioned before, audience, it's easy to get guilty of seeing someone with tattoos and you start to judge the person. And here's Abe literally wearing his faith on his arm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I've crossed the judgment a few times. But, you know, I mean, when I wanted to get tattoos, I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to get them, they're going to be related to the faith. And that's what I wanted and that's what I got. And I couldn't be happier with them.
I love it. As we get set to close here, let's just have a little fun. 2 weeks ago on the show, my guest was Tim McCormick, who played 10 seasons in the NBA. He was picked in the first round of the same draft with names like Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon ahead of him. And I watched a video where Tim told a story about having been this decorated college player, and all of a sudden he's in the NBA, and during someone's free throw attempt, he looks at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and just says, "Hi, Kareem." So, Abe, I wonder if you had some, oh my gosh, I'm playing in the NFL moment. Heck, maybe it was the first regular season game at home, the famous 12th man Seattle crowd, Russell Wilson being on the other sideline as quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Anything come to mind in terms of a real wow moment for you from this past season when you made your NFL debut?
You know, I mean, it wasn't really super, super shocking. It was more surreal than anything. I mean, just in that first game, like you said, when I just like ran out onto the field, you know, I mean, I'd met some famous players and stuff before then, but just coming out onto that field, it was just kind of like, to me, I was like, wow, I'm really here, you know, and this is really happening. And I'm really about to play in the NFL in my first game, you know, and this is phenomenal. It's just such a fortunate thing to have happened. So, I mean, yeah, it was a lot. It was heavily emotional, but it was great.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I'm sure that there were thanks being given to God pregame, halftime, and postgame by you.
Absolutely.
Outstanding, outstanding. Abe, so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for making time for Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and continued best wishes as your NFL career unfolds.
Thank you very much for having me. God bless.
My pleasure, my pleasure. And folks, obviously, since we have an athlete on this week's show, we will close with an athlete's prayer, and obviously we will do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, let me play well, but fairly. Let competition make me strong, but never hostile. Forbid me to rejoice in the adversity of others. See me not when I am cheered, but when I bend to help my opponent up. If I know victory, allow me to be happy. If I am denied, keep me from envy. Remind me that sports are just games. Help me to learn something that matters once the game is over. And if through athletics I set an example, let it be a good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.